Today's episode of Locked On MLB is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your next order.
You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully on today's episode, which is being dropped on the third day of May 2021. We're going to be recapping a action-packed, filled weekend of baseball as we are now in May. We are no longer in April, and with that, we're going to be looking at the games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and some of the big stories heading into the week. This show is available on the Odyssey podcasting app and wherever you get your shows. And when you're staying at home, as we're rounding third, heading for home, trying to beat this whole thing, be sure to wear your mask when you're outside. Don't be dumb. And tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Marlins with Aram Lighton. Why did I bring that one up? Bear with me. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So it is Saturday morning that I'm recording this segment. The games have been over for Friday night, and in just a couple hours, the games are starting up for Saturday. So let's review some of the things that happened in baseball on Friday. Lance McCullers Jr. had one of the best nights of baseball as a pitcher on Friday, and the Astros beat up on the Rays. It was 9-2 final, and the Rays got all their runs late, so it actually wasn't as close as that would indicate. Really solid performance by McCullers Jr., striking out 9 in 7 innings of 3-hit shutout ball. That's important for Houston. If they really do have dreams of getting back to the American League Championship Series and beyond, they need McCullers to step up and be one of the aces of the team. And do you know what? So far, so good for them. The Blue Jays beat up on the Atlanta Braves. Pair of home runs by Alejandro Kirk. He got on base 3 times. That was a final score of 13-5. Aaron Judge hit a pair of home runs, and Gerrit Cole was dominant as the Yankees pummeled the Tigers in an absolute 10-0, completely easy to predict romp. Gerrit Cole was great in that, as I mentioned. The bat of J.D. Martinez remains absolutely red hot. He had another pair of home runs. Red Sox clobbered the Texas Rangers 6-1. Joey Votto's heating up, and the Reds held off the charging Cubs 8-6. Alex Kirilloff got the first 2 home runs of his career, and the Twins beat up on the Royals. If the Twins want to get off the mat after this rancid start and actually defend their 2-time American League Central title, beating up on the leader, which would be the Royals, is a really, really smart way to start. John Means was great again. He's terrific for Baltimore, and he struck out 9 Oakland batters. And Cesar Valdez, my new favorite closer in baseball, absolutely flummoxed the A's after letting 2 on. No one could get a solid hit off of his junk. He got another save, and the Orioles beat the A's 3-2. That game was in Oakland. You had some tight games going on as the Yu Darvish, and the Padres held off the Giants. 12 strikeouts in 6 1/3 innings for Yu Darvish. Weird moment when Darren Ruff of the Giants hit a fly ball that for a moment looked like it was a go-ahead grand slam. And it was called a go-ahead grand slam, and then they reviewed it, and the replay showed it hooked foul at the very end. It probably was very difficult to see in, you know, with your naked eyes, and the way it curved at the end, I'm sure the ump thought, oh, it must have grazed the foul pole. Replay, this is why we have replay, folks. The replay showed that the hard call to make on the field was not correct, and Darren Ruff did not hit a go-ahead grand slam. Instead, he hit a foul ball and later struck out and the Giants lost the game. This is why we have it. This is why instant replay is there. Because the swing between a seventh inning go-ahead grand slam and a strikeout is a pretty wide swing of that pendulum. And the Giants lost to San Diego. But don't despair, Giant fans, because, drumroll please, you're still alone in first place. Because the Dodgers lost to the Milwaukee Brewers. The Nationals got a boost with some shutout innings from John Lester and then won the game against Miami in extra innings 2-1. And in the single strangest game of the night, the Mets and the Phillies had a very chippy game. Lots of bench clearing instances, lots of batters being thrown at, and also really weird winds that the wind swirling around Philadelphia made it apparently a very strange night for the outfielders who had to make leaping catches and falling back on routine fly balls. Stroman, I believe, was pitching for the Mets. Actually, let me look that up for a second. I believe it was Stroman was pitching for the Mets. But the point I'm making is that the Mets, who had gone like 20-some-odd innings without scoring a run. And folks, that's not good. Yeah, it was Stroman. That's not good. And they're getting wonderful pitching, like from DeGrom. That was a loss. They got a good performance from Stroman, who did not let up an earned run and struck out 8 in 5 innings. But the 2 runs came in on a passed ball. 2 runs came in on a passed ball. In what should have been the inning-ending strikeout, the ball got away, and 2 runs came in, and the final score was 2-1. And with that final of 2-1 in that very chippy game between Philadelphia and the Mets, the Phillies now have entered May at break-even. They are a .500 team. And at .500, they sit alone on top of the National League East. We're going into month 2 of the season, and with the Phillies merely breaking even, they are in the pole position for the NL East right now. And that, to me, brings up an interesting philosophical question. Now, what do I think is going to happen in the NL East? I think the Braves kind of stumbled out of the gate. Clearly, they stumbled out of the gate. They finished April with a losing record. I think the ship will be righted in Atlanta. I think Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to put together an MVP caliber season. And I do think, in the end, the Braves will win 90-some-odd games. And that will be enough for them to win yet another National League East title. But right now, every single National League East team is bunched together. Only a couple games in the loss column separate first from fifth. And only one team currently has a positive run differential in the National League East, and that's the Marlins. And I wanted to pose a question to the Marlins. The Marlins, along with the Rockies, are the only two teams to have never won a division title. Now, the Marlins have 2 World Series titles to their record, but I digress. For a team like the Marlins, the possibility, the window of opportunity to win a division is very, very small because they are, for whatever reason, a low-revenue team. They are not a small market team. Miami is not a small market. It should be a baseball-crazy market, but it's not. And they have had the reputation of being a bit of a joke of a franchise. Now, they made the postseason last year with a winning record over 60 games, and it was the extended postseason. And they actually won their series against the Cubs, because when the Marlins play the Cubs in the postseason, strange things happen. But the opportunity for a franchise like the Marlins to actually win a division title does not come around that often. Now, again, I'm not saying that I think they're going to. I still think the Braves are the best team. And it is early still at this point, but it's no longer April. And I can't help but wonder if it would be a smart thing for the Miami Marlins to take a good long look at their team right now. They could use another bat. They have some injuries to some of their key hitters, including Jazz Chisholm and Starling Marte right now. They probably could use a little bit of depth in their outfield. And despite getting some very good pitching from Trevor Rogers and Pablo Lopez and Sandy Alcantara, every team on the planet could use more pitching. And if they could pick up maybe one starter and one reliever, do you know what? That may not be the dumbest thing for them to do. Now, while it is indeed early in the season, it is also evident that a couple of teams are going to be sellers. The Rockies are going to be sellers. And the Rockies are undoubtedly going to trade Trevor Story and Germán Márquez. The Cubs want to be sellers. And they're undoubtedly going to trade Chris Bryant and Jock Peterson. And probably anyone else that isn't currently nailed down on the team. You may look at the Pirates, who are off to a faster start than you thought, but they're still entering this month, with a losing record, and might be interested, as we had when Ethan Smith was on from Locked On Pirates, the opportunity to sell high on a couple of their players like Adam Frazier. What I'm saying is this. If the Marlins could make an improvement early in the season and be able to have a player who could help the team do well this year early in the season so they get 4 or 5 months out of them instead of just a few weeks at the end of the season, wouldn't that be a smart thing to do? I'm not saying trade away all your best prospects. I'm not saying empty the farm system. I'm not saying, hey, here's, Jose Devers, who's their best, who's their best hitter? Like J.J. Bleda, who's their big power hitting prospect. I'm not saying dump all your top prospects, but I'm saying if you could make an adjustment now and an improvement now and be able to have that maybe a second month where you're staying in contention, isn't that worth it for the Marlins? Especially as fans start to come back once everyone's vaccinated and you're starting to open capacity, to be able to open capacity and say, hey, the Marlins actually aren't bad this year. And they made the playoffs again. And the NL East, is all bunched together. I'm bringing that up. Think about it, Marlins. This could be the window of opportunity to steal something. Especially if we get to the end of next month and we see the Braves are still stumbling and bumbling and rumbling and stumbling. If that's the case, those windows of opportunities don't open up that often. Tinker with the team a little bit. See if you can get an extra bat and an extra arm now. Or maybe call up one of your best prospects because you never know. Maybe one of them is ready and they could help the team from within. All I'm saying is, for Derek Jeter, Mr. I'm a winner, what a champion, this might be an opportunity to steal some valor here in Miami. All right, let's check out what's going to happen on the Saturday games.
Hey, did you hear about Bet Online? Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball is in full swing, and you can track all the action on Bet Online. This week has tons of sports action on the go. The NFL Draft and the Kentucky Derby all happened. Now you got Major League Baseball, Stanley Cup Finals, NBA Playoffs, UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs for the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code Locked On.
All right, I have to do this again because the recording software that I was using decided to shut down. So this is take two of the second part of today's podcast. Pulling the curtain back a little bit there, this is Sully being frustrated on the phone. And other people who got frustrated would be the Los Angeles Dodgers, who started off the game with a Mookie Betts home run, and it was just a wild, weird, back-and-forth game where the Brewers just never gave up. And, of course, you have extra inning games that start with the runner on, but Brandon Woodruff pitched well for Milwaukee, and Dustin May had to leave very early because of an injury. So, the Dodgers have very deep pitching, but the fact of the matter is you got Luis Urias was played some great ball and you got a key home run. Shaw got a big game for Milwaukee, and it was a walk-off game despite the Dodgers having a one-run lead in the 10th and a two-run lead in the 11th inning. Shaw's walk-off single made it a 6-5 Milwaukee victory. And with that, the Dodgers have, first of all, they are on the verge of potentially being swept by the Milwaukee Brewers, who are right now in first place all by themselves. The Dodgers have dropped 8 of their last 10 games. Now, to be fair, every single team that wins the World Series goes through some form of a slump at one point. And this could just be a point where it's a mild hiccup for LA. And all they have to do is win today, and San Diego also wins today, and the Dodgers will be tied for first. And so there's a lot of, at least amongst my Dodger fan friends, that there's a little bit of panic and hyperbole going on with the Dodgers. They're playing a good Brewers team. The Dodgers still have a positive 33-run differential. As I said, just two events, a victory against Milwaukee and San Diego beating the Giants, which, by the way, the San Diego has done the last couple of games against the Giants, and they're back tied for first. So let's not panic too much. But still, that was a rough loss. It was also a rough loss for the Red Sox, who gave a big lead early to Eduardo Rodriguez, and then saw everything just fall apart in the late innings. And they wound up dropping the game 8-6 to the Texas Rangers. And they're going up today. Garrett Richards, whose last game was terrific. Fultonewicz, who your guess is as good as mine what the Rangers are going to get out of Fultonewicz. But yeah, I can't help but wonder if the Red Sox, who have, they're playing 17-11 at this point. But Toronto won in a weird, dramatic game yesterday. Pair of home runs by George Springer. Big hit by Grichuk. Some really great defense going on. And the Blue Jays beat a really good Braves team yesterday. They're creeping back up. Baltimore somehow won 3 in a row, including the game against Oakland. The Yankees are doing what they're supposed to do against Detroit, which is smacking them around. I just get a feeling that the Red Sox have won with a little bit of smoke and mirrors at the first part of the season, and some of the teams that have been underachievers in the American League East are starting to get their act together. Look, I'm not saying the Red Sox are toast. I'm just saying I didn't pick them to win the division, and neither did you. Now, I didn't pick Kansas City to win the division either, and they got a great performance out of Danny Duffy, 7 innings, 1 run, and they absolutely pasted the Minnesota Twins, who I just don't get it. I don't get why the Twins are this bad. I really don't. I mean, I didn't pick them to win the division. I picked Chicago to win the division, and I stand by that. I do think Chicago is going to win the division. They're only 2 games back in the loss column of Kansas City at this point. But I thought Minnesota was going to be competitive. I didn't think that they would be thanking goodness that the Tigers are there to buffer them from the cellar. But here we are. And oh, by the way, I know I've said that the American League is not going to have a 100-loss team. Well, if there is going to be a 100-loss team, it's going to be the Tigers, who just, even though they gave the Yankees a little bit of a scare yesterday, they're just falling like an absolute rock. And maybe, how I said the Astros were not punished for the World Series? Well, maybe this is Hinch's punishment of his suspension, and then he has to take over and manage an absolutely dreadful Detroit Tigers team. When I saw the Angels were up 2-0 against the Mariners. I thought, well, gee whiz, I wonder how they got those two runs. And, oh, look it up. It was indeed a Mike Trout homer. But he was not the star of that game. Jared Walsh was. He got on base 5 times, hit a pair of home runs for good measure. And also they got a good performance out of Anthony Rendon, who also went 3-for-4 with a home run. But, you know, let's not sleep on Walsh, who has had a couple of really big games so far. He's had a couple of big home runs recently, and as of right now, he has an OPS of 1.068 with 6 home runs and batting 360, which I don't know if you had him down for being super productive this year, but he has been a really nice bat to insert in the middle of that lineup, especially with, look at Pujols, who's hit a couple home runs, and you know, he's obviously a Hall of Famer, but to have Walsh on the team, whether he's in the outfield or in first base or wherever you're going to play him, and you're going to have Trout playing at a superhuman level, Shohei Ohtani leading the league in home runs, and Stassi contributing in his as the catcher, you know what? That Angels offense is one to be reckoned with. And when I talk about the likes of Gray or Arrieta being available, come on, Angels. You got the bats to win the division. Have a halfway decent starting rotation and something positive can come about there. Weirdest game, weirdest division, National League East. A back and forth game. The Mets scored 4 in the first, which made Jacob DeGrom think, really? You can do that? But there was the Phillies tied it up. There was a lot of chippiness, a lot of anger still going on. Not quite as bad as what was going on between Cincinnati and Chicago. There was a dreadful call on the base path involving Andrew McCutchen saying he was out of the base path. He wasn't. All replays showed that it wasn't, and the call stood. The Mets wound up winning that game 5-4. With that, the Phillies, Nationals, and Mets are all one game under 500 and all in a virtual tie for first place, with Atlanta one game back with their loss to the Blue Jays, and Miami a game and a half back despite their loss to Washington. So once again, every team in that division is sub 500 in May, and yet every team in that division is within a game and a half in the standings of first place. I mentioned the other day that I felt that because of that, and because this is looking like a potentially winnable division, a team like the Marlins should go for it. And I threw that question out to Aram Lighton of Locked On Marlins. He responded to me via the Twitter, saying that they're missing Marte, Brian Anderson, Sanchez, Hernandez, Chisholm, Alfaro, and now Corey Dickerson to injury and hanging strong. And they think that they should hold off from making a big, huge deal until some of the hitters start coming back. I do agree with that to a degree. I do think that they could use another pitcher. Once again, I'll keep screaming Arrieta's name because he is out there and he is available and he would be a huge addition. Another Twitter follower, in fact, I'm going to look it up. RCJ Matt, that's his Twitter handle, said that they need a catcher. And, you know, Chad Wallach has not been terrible, but he's not been great. Alfaro was hurt. Sandy Leon is probably going to get more starts. Maybe they do need a catcher. I don't know. Either way, I think they should be aggressive. And part of that aggressiveness might be calling up some of their prospects from their deep farm system sooner rather than later. All right, that's what we got for Saturday's games. Let's take a look at how Sunday unfolds and see if anyone is going to emerge at break even in the scrum that is the National League East, and to see if the Dodgers, Padres, and Giants can have the scrum of quality teams in the National League West, and see what's going to happen if Oakland can dust themselves off and avoid being swept by the Orioles, or will the Astros leapfrog them back into first place?
Hey, let's talk a little bit about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar ever. So many flavors I love. Raspberry, German chocolate, mint brownie, double chocolate, banana bread. They're fantastic and they're good for you. Are you health conscious? You're trying to lose weight, maintain weight? You want to have an indulgent treat? Then these are great if you've got the keto diet going. You want low sugar, high protein? Let's take one of my favorite, which is coconut almond, which has 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. You get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Crazy Sunday of baseball games, and I'm going to get some help recapping them with some of the Locked On hosts, starting with Jeff Snyder of Locked On Dodgers.
Hey, what's up? It's Jeff Snyder from Locked On Dodgers. Now, you might think it took the Dodgers facing a guy in his major league debut to break out offensively. Can't be too satisfied with that. Well, guess what? You're wrong. The Dodgers have had plenty of times where they've struggled against guys they've never seen before, guys making their major league debuts, guys they ought to be punishing. And so when they finally punish one of them, I will take it. The Dodgers won 16-4 to salvage one game in an overall disappointing series with the Brewers. But hey, maybe it sets the right tone offensively going into Chicago. They're not going to be facing much velocity in Chicago. So maybe they're ready to break out offensively and carry that over. At the end of the day, you know, 8 RBIs from A.J. Pollock, 7 from Matt Beatty, and a lot of contributions from other guys getting on base for those guys. You know, the Dodgers getting on base hasn't been their problem. It's been cashing those guys in, and they cashed them in today. And it was wonderful to see. Vince and I will be talking about this game and the whole series tomorrow morning on Locked On Dodgers. So check it out. Locked On, your team every day.
Blastianos walks it off. What a day for the Reds. And honestly, if you were a Reds or a Cubs hitter, you had a great day. If you're a Reds or a Cubs pitcher, you want to forget today. I'd love to know what your first drink is, because everybody, except for like Heath Hembree, is trying to forget this game. Because Castellanos with a 5-hit day, 5-for-6, Eugenio Suarez is back. The slump is over. I'm calling it right now. He is taking this and running with it. 2021 is finally here for Eugenio Suarez. And not to be outdone, that was just an amazing performance as well by everybody in the lineup. I mean, Tucker Barnhart had an amazing day. You'll look at Jesse Winker at the top of the lineup scoring a bunch of runs. Just a phenomenal day for the Cincinnati Reds. And the fact that it ended up in a win is just amazing. A series win. In that, they beat the Cubs 2-1 in this 3-game series. Now an off day tomorrow, and they've got the White Sox coming to town on Tuesday. We're going to talk about this series, wrap it up, talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Is Heath Hembree the best reliever in the Reds bullpen? Amir Garrett, is he back? We've got a lot to talk about on the Locked On Reds podcast. You're going to want to join me, I'm your host, Jeff Carr, on tomorrow's Locked On Reds podcast. You're not going to want to miss it, because we're going to be celebrating. The Reds have won.
Hey, this is Jason Burke from Locked On A's. The A's just beat the Orioles 7-5. They are now 17-12 on the season. They're looking a little bit better. And I always like talking about the A's after a win. I don't have to talk about the 2 losses because I didn't record those days. So this is wonderful. Very appreciative to the A's for picking this game to win. The key to the game was obviously Matt Olson and his one eye. Jed Lowrie, the A's put 2 guys on the IL. Jed Lowrie had another big game. Really weird that he keeps doing that, Jed. You know, if you listen to the podcast, you know what I'm saying. Also, Ramon Laureano was the savior of this entire game. He robbed a home run in the 8th inning. In the bottom of the 8th, he hit a 2-run homer to give the A's the lead and eventually the win. Yeah, the A's are looking good. Yusmeiro Petit, the Vulture, stole another win from the A's other pitchers. So he's now 4-0 on the season. Good for him. But on tomorrow's podcast, I'm going to be talking about the importance of Matt Olson and what he brings to the team. Not only with his bat, but what else he brings to the lineup. So I'm going to be talking about that for you guys tomorrow morning. So make sure to tune in. Follow the podcast wherever you like hearing podcasts. And follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter and in the Locker Room app. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Ben Caspick with the Locked On Giants podcast. The Giants win the series finale against the Padres today, 7-1. Kevin Gausman on the mound pitched really well. Mike Tauchman hit a big 3-run homer. They lost Tommy La Stella to what looked like a leg injury. He also had injured his thumb earlier in the game on a diving play. So that could be a potentially big development coming out of this game. But ultimately, the Giants improved to 17-11 with this win. I said coming into this series that the Giants just really need to win one game. Going on the road, going to play the San Diego Padres in San Diego is not an easy thing to do. So to expect a series win is a little bit unrealistic. But ultimately, they've split. They've played six games in San Diego, and they're 3-3 in those six games. So I consider that a win for the Giants, who, like I said, have a share of best record in the National League. They remain in first place where they've been for 3 days. So I think this is, despite losing two out of three, the Giants carry momentum into Colorado against an inferior opponent, a team they should be able to win some games against. So we'll have a podcast breaking down the weekend. Tomorrow, we'll talk about Tommy La Stella's injury, these games in San Diego, and then preview the Rockies series. We do daily podcasts on Locked On Giants, where it's your team every day.
This is Stacey Gottsoulias, the host of Locked On Yankees, and after Corey Kluber's last start, I had to apologize to him. After this start, I'm thanking him for giving me positive things to talk about on my show tomorrow. I'll have the breakdown of the game, I'll have the recap, but let's just discuss Corey Kluber right now quickly, because he threw 103 pitches. It was his longest outing as a Yankee. He lasted 8 innings, and Aaron Boone after the game said that he was going batter for batter in the 8th inning, and Corey Kluber's like, I got this, and he retired them 1-2-3. So, hey, good job. He gave up 3 hits, walked 1, struck out 10, didn't give up any runs, gave the Yankees bullpen a break, which was good because 4 of them pitched yesterday. Chapman came in, finished the game. The Yankees swept the Tigers for their first sweep of the season. They're back up to 500, so nothing but good things to talk about on tomorrow's show. So it should be a good one. Tune in.
LFGM, the New York Mets, just won one of the most ridiculous games you can even imagine. I don't even know where to start with this, but this is Ryan Finkelstein, host of Locked On Mets, and I have a ton to talk about on tomorrow's show. And this game just got crazy as Rhys Hoskins almost tied it up in the bottom of the 9th inning with a 3-run homer. They hit off the top of the railing in right field, literally an inch away from a home run. That's got to hurt Phillies fans. I feel really bad for you. Really bad. Anyway, the New York Mets end up coming away with a series victory. Don't know how they pulled it off. A great win, though, late in the game after Didi Gregorius hit a 3-run homer earlier to put the Phillies up 4-2. Everyone was riding the Mets off, and they came back. They came back, and they won that game. Jonathan Villar, my guy, steals a run to tie things up. I mean, no one saw that one coming. Caught the Phillies flat-footed, goes from first to home on a ball that barely made it out of the infield. So that was an incredible play. And then Pete Alonso has the big 3-run double that ultimately seals a victory for the New York Mets. Just crazy, though. And I think the best part about this series is there is a really heated rivalry brewing with the Phillies that we get to watch for the rest of the season. It's going to be a lot of fun to see these teams go head-to-head throughout the year. But I don't know if they'll play another game as wild as that one. Again, breaking it all down in tomorrow's episode of Locked On Mets.
Thanks, everybody. And I just want to point out two quick things. I feel a little bad that I asked the Marlins to go for it and they promptly got swept, but the fact of the matter is they're still the only team in the National League East with a positive run differential, so maybe they should go for it. And the Red Sox lost to the Rangers, and it felt a little strange that it was Brock Holt beating the Red Sox. Man, 2018 seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Well, thanks for listening. This is going to be Locked On MLB for the third day of May. A brand new week of baseball games are starting up as we're now entering the second month of the season. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.
Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.